From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome to another Let the Bible Speak program. Today we return to the subject of so-called hate crimes, and we're going to take a look at a legislative attack on our right to say what the Bible says, without being criminalized by federal statute. Yesterday I reported on the attempt of a college campus to label quotations from Scripture against homosexuality as hate crime, and the additional attempt to maul the plain meaning of the Scriptures to make them condone sodomy. Now, here's another report from WorldNet Daily from October 2005, and this time it's of legislation in the U.S. House of Representatives, and I quote, "The recently introduced bill entitled Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2005, H.R. 2662, intends to enforce nationwide the definition that hate equals bias against federally protected groups. Homosexuals used this definition in October 2004 to persecute 11 Christians in Philadelphia. This bill also aims to create a new protected class for the gender-confused and altered-gendered, as well as homosexuals, pedophiles, witches, warlocks, and Satanists. This bill enables the federal government to take over local law enforcement if the states do not have hate laws, or if they do not zealously enforce the new federal law. It also allows for the federalization of the police if the verdicts are not as the federal government wants. As in Canada, this bill outlaws all criticism of protected groups. Biblical terms such as sodomite will become a hate crime since it can lead to a perceived threat. Any channel, website, church, radio program, television program that fails to protect against hate speech can be dismantled, according to this bill." Now, there are many problems with this legislation. It's an unconscionable infringement of free speech, and it completely violates the constitutional ban on the government's power to curtail freedom of religion. The government has every right to prosecute individuals or groups that practice or advocate violence against other people, be they homosexual or otherwise. There are, however, adequate laws now on the books to cover such activity. But curtailing violence is not what the sodomite lobby has in mind. What it wants is the removal of the stigma of people knowing that the Bible utterly and bluntly condemns their behavior. Thus they will use the misguided power of Congress to stamp on the constitutional rights of American Christians to establish the non-existent right not to be condemned by God's word, a right that no earthly government has the authority to confer. In countries where such legislation has already been passed, it has been used to stamp out any Christian or biblical witness on the subject of sodomy. For example, in Sweden in 2004, a Pentecostal pastor was imprisoned for a month for a sermon that he preached in 2003, in which he described homosexual acts. He wasn't speaking of people, he was describing homosexual acts as, quote, abnormal, a horrible cancerous tumor in the body of society. In Alberta, Canada, a minister is being threatened with multi-thousand-dollar fines by the province's Human Rights Tribunal. His crime? He wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper decrying the practice of public schools indoctrinating students in favor of the homosexual lifestyle. Now the sodomite juggernaut is heading our way. We are in danger of seeing the historical freedoms of Americans sacrificed on the altar of gay lesbian agendas. We're about to see an attack on the right of the Church of Jesus Christ to be faithful to Him and to preach His word without fear of reprisal from the civil power. This is the real hate crime that's being practiced in America today. Isn't it time that the reported 40 million evangelicals in this great nation let the Congress know that they will not allow them to sell them and their God-given liberties out to the Sodomite movement? Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Let us awake to the danger. Be men of prayer and men of Christian witness, character and integrity, who will stand whatever the opposition.
My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Throughout this week on Let the Bible Speak, we are emphasizing the offer of our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. I think that you'll enjoy the look of it, and I think you'll enjoy the contents of it. We seek to bring you solid Bible study and a number of other interesting articles. Now, the way that you receive your copy, or the way to get on the mailing list to receive each issue as it is published, is to write us or call us. The mailing address of Let the Bible Speak is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. That is 1-866-877-5827. I trust that you'll either write or call this week, and let us send you your copy of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We now come to the final part of our studies in Psalm 138, verse 3. The subject of which is timely answers to urgent prayers. I hope that you've learned something about what it is to pray urgently, and I trust today that you'll get something of the confidence regarding God's answer. As we start out today, we join the part of the message that I preached some weeks ago in our church here in Greenville. We join the message where we're dealing with the agony that true prayer entails. Prayer is not a simple or easy matter. To prevail with God is certainly sore on the flesh. It does entail a deep agony. And that's where we start. But thank God we don't end there, because you go from the agony to the glorious assurance that the psalmist leads us to in the words of our text. In the day when I call, thou answerest me. The certainty that God hears and God answers the heartfelt cry of every Christian. If you ever set out to do anything for God, you'll know what agony is. That's true in every area of life. Does a parent not know this? You parents who have taken the burden of your children on your heart, who know what it is to pray over them and labor over them to present them before God and see His saving grace in their lives, do you not know what it is to have agony? Oh, they bring great joy. But I've never met the parent yet who doesn't know the agony of hot tears. It's true in the pastorate. True in the mission field. The first thing that's normal for a Christian is agony. But the second thing that's normal is God's answer to his cry. In the highest sense, this is the answer that Joseph said the Lord would give to Pharaoh when he said, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. in the day when I cried. Thou answeredst me and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. The Lord's answer is speedy. In the day when I cried. Understand that when you cry to God, He hears at that time. Now, even in those cases where the final answer is delayed, yet God hears you when you cry and you get something from Him that's needful at that time. Take the case of Daniel. It was a long time before the final answer came through, but God heard him in the very day that he cried. God's answer is always seasonable. It's just what we need and when we need it. We were reading Hebrews 4 verse 16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Finding grace to help in time of need. The idea is simply finding seasonable grace. Grace for the season. Grace that is right for the situation that you're bringing before the Lord. This is not a one-size-fits-all promise. There is a seasonable grace. God's answer is spiritual. It's not always what we expect, but it's what we need. Thou strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Now, there are times when David could rejoice when the Lord heard his cry. He immediately did the very thing that David wanted or felt he needed to have done. He lifted him out of the situation. He delivered him from King Saul. He saved his life. He did all sorts of things. But there were other times when the Lord allowed him to go through the deep distress, and he didn't lift him out of it immediately, but he strengthened him to go through it. Strength in the soul. Now let me put it to you. When we come to pray, that is the all-important thing by way of answer. To be strengthened in the soul. This is what the Lord did for Paul. Paul three times came with a thorn in the flesh. Said, Lord, remove it. What was the Lord's answer? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see what Paul, or what the Lord is saying to Paul? Paul, you have a thorn in the flesh. Now let's back up for a minute. Put yourself in Paul's position. Nothing made sense but the removal of that thorn in the flesh. Whatever it was a physical ailment. If those people are right who think that it was some disease of the eyes, it certainly was something he could do without. A man in his job. Paul didn't need the distraction. He didn't need the hindrance. That chronic illness was bringing to him. He was a busy preacher. He was a missionary. He was a soul winner. He was the all-important witness for God in the Gentile world. If anybody didn't need this physical debility, it was Paul. And so he came to the Lord, not just for his own comfort, but for the good of the cause of God, and said, Lord, take this away. But the Lord said, no, what I'll do, I'll give you strength. I'll give you grace in your soul. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And what was Paul's response? He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, when you and I come to pray, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Not that we have more money. If the Lord feels we need that, let Him give it. Not that we get a better job. Again, if He feels we need that, let Him give it. Not that we get delivered from illness. Again, if the Lord wills and gives that, let Him do so. But ultimately, as we come to pray, the bottom line, as far as receiving the answer is concerned, is that the power of Christ may rest upon us. That's the bottom line. That's why Paul told the Ephesians, his prayer for them, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that they may be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. That was it. In Colossians chapter 1, he gives them, verse 11, his prayer for them. It is that they'd be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. It's a spiritual answer that the Lord gives. There's agony, but there is an answer. And that will lead to the third thing that's usual in the life of a Christian, and that's acknowledgement. The Lord's answer to David became the basis of His worship, His praise, and His testimony. If you and I will contemplate the timely answers to prayer in the past, we'll discover the same thing. As they did with David, with us, they will drive away apathy. They will put the fire of God in our souls. I wonder honestly this morning, can you look back? Say, yeah, there was the time I cried. He heard me. Maybe I got what I thought I needed. Maybe I didn't. But He strengthened me with strength in my soul. There was a time of trial and trouble, but today I understand, because through it all, I have the power of Christ resting upon me. I have the joy of the Lord in my heart, and I have had communion with God and a depth to experience that otherwise I would never have had. If we feel to put the blessings of God to this use of bringing them back to mind, to make them the basis of ongoing worship, praise, and testimony, then we're misusing those blessings. So as we close, let me ask you, cast your mind back. Remember the great things He has done for you. Remember the times the Lord has come to strengthen your soul with strength. Let that awaken your heart to praise. Let it warm your heart to devotion, and let it loose your tongue, so that as you go from God's house this morning, you'll be able to say with David in Psalm 66 and 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. In the day when I cried, Thou answeredst me and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. Therefore, I will worship Thee for timely answers to urgent requests. And I will continue by the grace of God in the awareness of Thy presence, living in nearness to Thy throne, and with a heart that is ever open for the reception of God's answer." Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thine all-sufficient grace. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied, and still it flows as full and fresh and free as ever from our Savior's wounded side. Thank God there is grace sufficient for all our need. Lord, we pray, forgive us our sins. O God, we plead with Thee, deal with every hindrance to our praying. Deal, Lord, with those things that grieve Thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, we pray, give us grace to turn afresh to Thee, the dearest idol I have known. Whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from Thy throne and worship only Thee. Gracious God, do this in every heart and in every home. And, O Lord, we pray that every Christian here will be able to go on in this testimony that I cried and God answered and God strengthened and God blessed. So hear our cry. Part is with Thy blessing. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought church, both this Sabbath day and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I trust that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's broadcast. We'd be happy to hear from you. If you'd like to inquire further about the Free Presbyterian Church, comment on the program, receive our full-color quarterly magazine, and especially if you'd like to receive my booklet, A New Beginning, to show you how to be saved and sure you're saved, we would welcome your correspondence. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or email us at ltbs@freepres.org. We invite you to visit us also at our website, freepres.org, where you may listen to and download sermons from a number of our ministers. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you being with us, and I trust you'll join us each day at this time as we let the Bible speak.